Insights on Air by Barrels by Alex Partners.
This is what the future sounds like. Recycled steel, vegan seats, green energy, sustainability without compromise, and performance right where you need it with smart software that maximizes your range. This car is more than just mobility. It's a statement.
Okay, that's what a car commercial could sound like from a manufacturer that truly embraces sustainability. But sustainability, you know, is often still seen as just a cost factor in the automotive world, even though we think it holds actually massive revenue potential. Most OEMs still focusing solely on regulations, and they're clearly missing out the valuable market opportunities. So the question is, how do you actually make money with sustainability? How can you turn it into a profitable strategy? And that's what we are talking about today in this next episode of Insights on Air. My name's Thorsten. I'm a partner at Barrels by Alex Partners, and I'm joined today by Stefan and Tobias.
Yes, and we conducted a study for Barrels by Alex Partners that looked at how sustainability can be monetized in the automotive industry. To do so, we are looking at the example of green product lines that can specifically be used as revenue drivers. In this episode, we'll show you how to turn green into gold, how the TPMC approach works, and which pricing models really make sustainable vehicles a success.
Toby, just to make sure, a fully sustainable car like the one we imagined in our opening, is that something that could technically actually already exist?
Yes, definitely. So it could exist in theory. All the building blocks are available, but no manufacturer has put it all together yet. And that's the problem, because sustainability is more than just an electric drivetrain, for example. We have to consider the full life cycle of a vehicle, and that starts with sustainable materials. It goes on along in a sustainable production. And of course, we have to consider the usage phase and the end of life of the car. But beyond the drivetrain, some illustrative examples of sustainable product features in a car could be recycled or regenerative rubber for tires, for example, but it could also be vegan or recycled fabrics for car seats, or of course, batteries that had minimum to low impact on the planet in terms of extracted materials, for example, or in terms of energy and water consumption during production.
So that sounds very interesting. Sounds like the revenue potential is huge, and sounds as if it's really possible to turn green into gold, actually. But I think before being too optimistic, let's talk about something that is super important, as it is always. It is identifying and understanding the customer, the target audience. And I think that's something that is very often actually overlooked. And especially when we talk about sustainability, this is something that's still a new topic. And not all customers value environmental responsibility the same way. So right now, what we found is that sustainability is especially relevant when it comes to expensive cars. So we talk about the premium or even luxury segments. And those are the segments where customers are willing to pay more because simply they can afford it. And also because values like eco-consciousness and status, sometimes they go hand in hand. So there's a key additional point also that, of course, the customers can have a visible distinction from standard models when they buy a sustainable car. So they can also show to the outside world, look, I'm sustainable and I'm taking that serious.
Yeah, thanks, Thorsten. I think, you know, in the car business, typically you would see different consumer segments. You will see people who seek speed, they seek safety, they seek, you know, experience or comfort. And one of the issues with sustainability is the lack of segmentation. So there are studies out there that show there are many segments in sustainability, and HBR, Harvard Business Review, came up with three categories. The first one is the greens, who actively seek sustainable products and accept a higher price, or a price that, you know, an exchange between performance and sustainability, right? We can make a compromise there. Then there are the blues. The blues are open to sustainability as long as it doesn't cost more. So they're willing to, you know, use it, but at the same price. And finally, the grays, they just don't care. And like in every market and every sector or innovation, you always will have different segments. So, you know, obviously in sustainable offering without direct functional advantages, like, you know, we talked about before, will mostly attract the greens, right? So we got to push that message, as Tobias mentioned, with, you know, recyclability and emission, fuel efficiency. But, you know, these segments evolve and the offering from manufacturers evolved. Considering that by 2030, about 50% of new car sales are expected to be electric, there is a growing eco-conscious customer base with buying power, plus a younger generation that value purpose and is increasingly willing to pay for green features. So there is a movement out there, and it's important for manufacturers not only to focus about the current segments, but to project what's going to happen in the future.
So that sounds very interesting, Stefan. And this also sounds as if the future can actually look bright for these kinds of solutions. But as always, I think we are starting small. So we actually estimate that today's customer base for a global OEM, or in today's customer base, you probably have like 2 to 5% of customers that we would call the true believers. So the ones that would really be willing to pay a premium for a fully sustainable vehicle compared to a less eco-friendly version. So quite a small base of customers currently, but growing, as you were just outlining. But let's do the math on that. And I think then we'll see that it still makes sense to address this currently still small customer base. So when we look into today's popular upgrade package, like the S line with Audi or the AMG line with Mercedes or BMW's sports package, in Germany, those cost between 2,500 to 4,000 euro for like a mid-range premium car. So if we now imagine that a sustainable trimline offering that we develop and that has a similar like emotional value than the AMG S-Line or M-Sports package has, we think it could be priced like in the same range, so between 2,000 and maybe 5,000 euros. And when we do the math on that, we think that in the next 5 years, offering that sustainable trimline and option could yield to a profit potential of around 290, so roughly 300 million euro of additional, so incremental annual profit for one of the big OEMs. So the customer base is small, but we think the profit potential is worth it.
And that's quite a big number you calculated there, Torsten. And I think that's a number that no OEM can neglect, especially in the current economic situation. But of course, the key question is, how can we get to that, to those profits? How can we actually make them happen? And I think that's where the TPMC framework comes in. Right, Stefan?
Yes, indeed. This framework was developed over the past couple of years based on projects with partners from the manufacturing and technology sectors. These companies have successfully applied it to a wide range of sustainability projects. For sustainability innovation to create real value, and that's what we're talking about, in the automotive market, they need to be first tangibilized, second productized, third monetized, and lastly fourth commercialized. So TPMC. The first step is to make sustainability tangible, right? Many initiatives remain abstract, vague. Then some of them, they talked about, you know, CO2 savings or packaging type. But what this really means for the customer is often unclear. They don't understand it and they cannot make the difference between one claim or another. The goal here is to show the value for the customer through clear statements, words that they use, measurable metrics and visible features, for example, on the packaging or in the car manual. Then come the productization. And productization is really packaging these offers into something that the customer considers a product. How do you turn this tangible sustainability concept into a real offering? Maybe it's an interior package with vegan leathers, or a service that makes the CO2 footprint of your vehicle transparent. The key is that it must be clearly defined, bookable, and communicable.
Yeah, and I think once that is done, you need to make money from it. And
right.
Yeah, making money from it, of course, requires the right model. I think there are several different opportunities OEMs have there. So either sustainability can be marketed directly, for example, through price surcharges. So that would be the most common approach that we also see with the AMG lines or the M Sport packages that are out there. So you just put a price tag on it and you charge it in a configurator. And of course, there's the indirect monetization route. So you don't charge it specifically, but you get a higher market share, a better customer loyalty, and of course, a better brand image, especially with those green customers that we talked about earlier. Yeah, and once the pricing strategy is clear, the next step and the last step of the model is the commercialization. And that means rolling it out, bringing it to market, and of course, scaling it. And for that to work, there's basically one magic word, I would say, and that's cross-functional collaboration. That's not something that can be done by a pricing team, for example, alone, that just tries to find a sustainable product feature of an existing car and then puts a price tag on it. To be able to really see sustainability not just as a cost, but as a profit center, needs to be considered in the very beginning of the vehicle development process. And here you really need to take a business perspective early on. So you need to check which are the sustainable features that that are relevant to the market. What are the features that are interesting for especially those green customers? Then those features can be given priority during the development, and then they can be monetized and commercialized. So yeah, to put it in a nutshell, all departments must be aligned with the same sustainability goals, which then leads to economic and ecological sustainability.
Yeah, and Toby, you spoke a bit about pricing already, and obviously that's one of my favorite topics. So I just want to extend that a little bit more. And I think it's also a great opportunity, because always when you do something new that hasn't been there before, you also have the chance to do something new in pricing, because it's much easier to bring a new pricing approach to the market when you can connect that with a new offering. And we, as we know, there are many, many different ways out there how to price a product. And just to give a little bit of food for thought on how you could do that with sustainable options, I mean, you could, of course, do a value-based pricing approach. So we talked about the customer segment that is up for sustainable options right now, and we said they are willing to pay a premium and they see a value. So monetizing these value can be an approach to do that. And there are certain value drivers that you could actually put together and then put a value-based pricing tag on it. So that would actually be one opportunity how to do that. Another one could also be a very new approach, which is called dynamic pricing. So that means the price for the option can change, for example, based on external circumstances like government subsidies, environmental laws. So the price would actually never be the same, but it would change throughout time, maybe for sure not on a daily basis, but on a little bit longer term basis. Then one thing I really find interesting could be the what we call a tiered pricing approach. So think about something like economy class and business class and first class. So an approach that tiers to a certain level of product that you get. And this could be translated into the automotive world. This could be a basic offering, an advanced offering, and a premium offering. And of course, attached to these three tiers, you could differentiate the price of the offering and then, of course, also the offering itself. So those are just three examples. I think there's lots more. And I think companies can be creative in thinking about what is the best approach to price the offering to make actually the most out of it.
And I think that's quite a bit of content already, lots of insights and approaches. So let's wrap it up, I would say. What we can say at the end is that the auto industry is facing some serious challenges right now, be it the Chinese market that is getting increasingly difficult, especially for the incumbent OEMs, be it BEV adoption that is slower than expected, and of course, the cost pressure that is rising continuously. And that's times where we can definitely not ignore the 290 million of additional profit potential. And yeah, in times like these, still sustainability takes a backseat, but that's exactly the opportunity that OEMs have right now to create those new revenue streams, make sustainability profitable, turn it from a cost into a profit center. So I would say now is the time to move and bring together economic and ecological sustainability.
Yes, indeed. And gentlemen, the timing right now could not be better. I mean, yes, you know, sustainability is still front and center. We know that in the automotive business, development cycles can be very long, but it's important to get started now. The companies that invest in sustainable products and services today will be the ones who win in the long run and secure competitive advantages. There is no doubt.
Stefan, Tobi, thanks for doing that podcast together. It was a great pleasure. And for all the ones that have been listening to us, if you want to learn more, because we could just scratch the surface today, feel free to get in touch with us. You find all the info and also a link to a study that we did on exactly that topic in the show notes. And thanks for listening. And then see you next time on Insights on Air.
Barrels by Alex Partners. The expertise of our top management consultants extends across the complete value chain of automobility, from long-term strategic planning to operational performance improvements. Based on our automobility thought leadership, Barrels by Alex Partners stand out with their broad experience, their profound industry knowledge, their innovative problem-solving competence, and last but not least, their entrepreneurial thinking. Thanks for listening, and until next time.